So, have you ever stayed in a toxic relationship due to fear of being alone?
Yes. Oh, is that the answer?
No.
Well, how does the game work again? True. I can open up to all my boys. My boys are my boys. But like, girls, it's very hard for me to be like, listen, like, today was like really tough. And like, I didn't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
Type out. Because some girls can look at you and say, yo, yeah, hey.
Men are finished. Hans have been saying, my man is in his fed era.
Then you see on his status, not the sassy king complaining about finances, giving his desperate to be rich.
So we were locked in. Thing that the lock is a rental, Tato. And then I started crying and she just looked at me.
Even with me, with like vulnerability, I struggle to be vulnerable with women now as well. Like I'll be talking to a girl, she'll be like, what's wrong? I'm like, mm-mm. But to say, because like men are the worst at this. Like we go through experiences. Let's say we showcase vulnerability, then we're shamed for it. We will never be vulnerable again.
Ever.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Ever.
I mean, we see with a lot of our friends. Like I hate to say the names. Person Khonze.
Very, very hard, guys.
Like with them, bro. Person Khonze, they were in relationships. They didn't go while they were hurt. They will never be in a relationship anytime soon.
Yeah.
So we keep building up these walls as men. XS Shafir, who's a welcome back to a brand new episode of Seated with Levo and Tato Rampir. We're back again, baby.
Yeah, it feels good to be back. Yeah, we're very consistent.
We're very consistent.
What are we on? Episode 7 of season 3?
I don't know, but I thought that, yes, I need you guys to switch on because we're doing it.
They're not consistent.
They, you know.
What are they? They okay.
They were gone for like a month and a half, but now they're back.
Yo! Sorry, mommy and Kai, I have to bully them out, dog. I have to bully them. There's no way I can't bully them.
They were gone for a while.
For 1 month and a bit.
Yeah, but now they're back, bro. They posted yesterday. They posted last week. So they're consistent.
Yeah.
Also, I'm so close to getting them their first deal, like on the podcast.
Yo, what?
Yeah, I'm very close to getting them their first podcast deal. But yeah, bro, how are you? How are you doing? How's everything?
Oh, we're not going to do the first question of the week. You're not going to tell us the agenda.
Oh, sorry.
This guy, get into his first podcast.
My bad. So today we're speaking about exploring self-discovery and relationships. Not like actual relationships with like your partners, but relationship with like your friends and yourself, right? Basically the themes are self-discovery, relationships, personal growth and vulnerability. And yeah, man, we're basically be defining those things, speaking about how we feel about those things.
Yeah.
And I got some games also lined up for us as well. So
okay, that's good. The conversation. Sounds very interesting.
Get ready, get excited for the first ever Mini United event right here in South Africa on the 7th of September 2024. Guys, this is going to be happening at the ground in Muldersdrift, and it's going to be the first time we get to experience a full day with fun, activities, activation, amazing people, and so much more. As Mini enthusiasts, guys, we finally get to celebrate the brand, so pull through because it's going to be absolutely amazing, and we get to see the new Mini family.
Yeah, guys, Mini United has promised us a day like no other, filled with not only a community spirit, but also great music, and we're talking about genres like hip-hop, pop, house. Guys, I'm looking at the lineup, I'm seeing DJ Khaled, Shekhana, Devin Gogo, Jägermeister, Brass Cartel, guys, and so much more. So we're very excited for the music.
The brand will be showcasing unique and energetic displays, brand activations, and of course, my favorite thing in the whole wide world, food. And on top of that, guys, we get to see some really cool new Mini vehicles.
So if you're an adventurer, or maybe someone who's just a spirit seeker, or even just a die-hard Mini fan, this day is definitely for you. And you get to feel all the big love for Mini and all their products. I mean, like, guys,
it's going to be a time.
It's going to be a time. So we will see you there. Yeah.
That's right, guys. We all know Mini is all about inclusivity, creativity, and of course, big love. We're going to be there, guys. So make sure you guys pull through too and get your tickets at www.mini.co.za/United, or you can simply click the link in our description. But let's get back into the podcast. We'll see you guys there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. So you used to say, okay, and all our episodes are available.
Yeah, we've had so many brand deals in the podcast, but I feel like I'm missing out to say, yeah, guys, check out Spotify.
Guys, by the way.
Yeah, man, how are you?
I'm okay. I started the week off really badly. Like, I chilled yesterday. I didn't do any work.
But it's Tuesday.
I didn't do any work yesterday. What did I do? I think I just shot a podcast.
A podcast?
not a podcast. I shot like a TikTok. Sorry,
those are two very different things.
Yeah, it's two different effort levels. But I shot like a TikTok.
Yeah,
I think I made that Asmajita template thing, and then attended that meeting with you guys. And what else did I do? Not a crazy amount of work. I'm looking for a carpet.
Yeah,
that's something that I do a lot. Just taking it in, boy. You know, being unemployed means that you can, you know, start
self-employed.
Yeah, self-employed. Yeah. Hey, that's what the new unemployed guys in South Africa are, self-employed. That's what they're calling it now. But yeah,
no,
being
But what are you?
I'm not self-employed.
You're unemployed. You're a freelancer.
I'm a freelancer.
I pay myself a salary, so I'm self-employed.
You're self-employed. Yeah. Myself. If you pay yourself the salary, then it's self-employed. Yeah. Yeah, if you just have money, then you're a freelancer.
But no. your checks are coming in though, so it's not like they're not coming
in. Yeah, then there, you know, it's not like it used to be, you know. But
speak
like,
about that, bro. So you're saying you had a slow Monday, because I know, like, in corporate, you guys speak about this a lot. Like, in our minds, it's like entrepreneurs and people that are, like, you know, working for themselves with other people in the space. We think you guys are there, like, working from 9 to 5, like, grinding.
No.
So, like, when your first slow Monday as an unemployed person yesterday, compare your slow Monday to the office.
It's like, exactly the same, low key.
So my question to you
in terms
is
of effort, it's exactly the same, low key.
So maybe
just like a bit off.
But and then do you feel more guilty in your slow Monday in your own capacity, like unemployed, more than being employed, or is it the same level of guilt?
Nah. The guilt is different in the office, but people watch you be lazy.
So in the office, you feel worse.
Like, people watch you, yeah. So you like it ends, you know. We're talking about how many work hours in a day? Is it 8 hours?
Yeah, 8 hours a day.
8 hours in a day. Probably people only work 3 to 4 of those. If I'm being honest. And everyone who has a job will comment down, yes. It's a fact.
So is it a thing of like...
So
a lot of thing of like, you guys are on standby to be given work?
No, it's because also you're working on things that are due today, you're working on things due next week, and you're working on meetings that are for things that are due next month. So at all of these things are happening at the same time. So keep in mind, there's times when there's no meeting for what's happening next month.
Yeah.
And there's no work that's due today. It's only due next week. So then what happens? You say to yourself, you have Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah.
So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to get this thing done. So you'll allocate 3 hours per day. And then you get your thing done by the due date.
Oh, because in my head, when you guys are at work, it's like, okay, guys, 11 a.m., this thing is due, submit, like a test. Yeah,
obviously there's like seasons like that where like, you need to get to work with having a presentation done.
So you guys don't have deliverables every like 2 hours.
No. It's not like that. It's a job. It's like you.
I've never had a job before.
You saying to, you've never had a job before. You actually have never had a job. It's like you saying to yourself, you know how we have that thing that's due tomorrow.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're going to put full effort on Monday?
I did put effort on Monday to like pre-plan.
Yeah, but we pre-planned the previous week. So then now it's like, it's not like,
oh, I get what you're
I'm
saying.
I'm saying, let's say that was your only task.
Oh, like, yeah, my task is to get this deliverable done on Wednesday. I'm only shooting on Wednesday, Tuesday.
And now you're shooting Tuesday at like 5 p.m.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying though?
So, but I think that's because
very similar.
I think it's because you're in the consulting space. Like, you're using like, you're at a higher level.
No, but I mean, being
you
a
consultant. Put someone at like,
no, I mean like when
you. Put someone in a different space. Like, put someone like, you know, that's like a banker.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
They are always working. So in my mind, the way a banker's working is the same way you guys work in the office.
That's what I'm starting to say. Like, being a consultant basically means that like you're going to pick up the job of the space that you're going to occupy. So in the space that I was in, I was like a data analyst or a sharp because they're working with data.
Okay.
In another space, I was a business analyst, right? And that is hectic, you know. That's every day. That's the stuff, BRD, making a BRD in the morning. It takes like a week. The specifications change, in and out. As this process, all these things like happen. That's hectic, right?
Yeah.
But again, it's all about length of, like you're saying, I was a consultant, so it's like length of the project also has to be taken into account. If it's an 8-month project, you're not going to do 8 months in 3 weeks, brother. It's going to take, it's going to be slow. You know what I'm saying?
I get you.
Other jobs, as they say, 4 months. You're here for 4 months.
You're grinding.
We need this thing in the fourth month.
Yeah, because some of my engineering friends, they're always like, yo, bro, we're always working. We're so tired.
Mm.
Some people in like the banking sector too, like Maggie, she was like, yeah, bro, like I'm working the whole day. I'm coming back.
Some people do late shift, like at night. I've done night shifts a couple of times.
I guess it depends on the
just depends on the season, boy. Also, keep in mind, it depends on the... I want to say sector that you occupy. Like you say, being banking sector and the financial year is closing, it's going to be a hectic time. You know, you might go home 8 p.m., you know.
Yeah.
9 p.m., but then when the financial year is starting, things are chilled, man. You know, not things are that hectic. You know what I'm saying? So it really does depend. Yeah.
Okay. For me, how? Because that's your how are you? That's the answer to how you are.
Actually, you kept asking me more and more. By the way, I'm fine, guys. I'm fine. So just to conclude everything, I'm okay. I'm fine. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good, bro. I didn't have a slow Monday. I woke up late. But I was like, oh, I went and I started spanning.
You are the reason I had a slow Monday. I called you from the hours 8 all the way into 10 a.m.
Level relies on someone. Why are you relying on me to work?
Nah, I come here, then we work. That was the agreement.
Oh.
So then he wasn't answering his phone. Imagine, guys.
I started my Monday late.
Oh, yeah. But you still got what you needed.
I started my Monday at 11 p.m. Because I had a hangover. I was tired. We were out the night before.
Yeah.
And then I worked from 11 p.m. until 11 p.m. Because I went to go work with a friend also.
Yeah, she went late, so I did go.
So I guess I made up my time that I missed out on the morning. But my bad, because we all meant to link every morning and
stand on
business. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm good, bro. Business-wise, things are slow now again. Because I was in this phase where I was getting a lot of brand deals. So now I've got maybe 2-3 deals in the works. I mean, we're working with Bad Boys. We're shooting that today. Yeah. I'm back to work with Lenovo. That's really exciting. I've got a contract with Wimpy for 8 months, which is also really dope.
Oh yeah, so remember.
But then outside of that, there's no new work. I need to find new ways to make money before the money finishes.
Same.
Money can only hold you for so long.
Same. The entirety of August, I didn't get a single deal. Mm. Not one deal.
Signed to Rambedi Media.
Well, besides the podcast deals, but that's, I mean, I don't count those under my portfolio. But yeah, you only got no deals for this month, which is crazy, bro. This is my first month this year.
Yeah.
Without a deal.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm good, bro. Friendship wise, everything is good. I'm trying to pick up new habits, back to the gym. I think I went to 3 sessions last week. Not too happy about that, but I went yesterday for this week. I didn't go today. I don't think I'm gonna have a chance to go today. But if I do get a chance, I'm gonna vibe. Let's say Hunza's late and Percy's late. I might push out a quick hour, you know. Otherwise, I doubt it. I'll just pick up tomorrow. Maybe I'll do 2 sessions tomorrow, or I'll do a session on Friday too. I'm trying to distance myself from people as well, more and more. Cause we meet people every week, and then when you meet people, they're like, yo, we should hang out again. I was like, I already have my friends.
Now you have to build a new friendship again. Yeah.
Even with girls also.
But specifically with girls, obviously.
Also, with girls also, it's difficult because it's like, yo, dude, I just want to be friends with you. But sometimes people mistaken your niceness or your gentleman.
Or your lamzas, or dude, or your hugging, or
your lamzas, or your date,
for love. Like, the hell? First of all, that passionate kiss that we had last week Thursday meant nothing to me.
I'm so dead. Segment one is understanding self-sabotage. You know, when we hold ourselves back. So I first wanted to obviously define self-sabotage.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is the act of intentionally or unintentionally undermining one's own goals, aspirations, or relationship, often due to fear, insecurity, or past experiences, right?
Mm.
So it's basically when you don't feel like, you know, you're worthy of. No. It's basically when you do things to prevent your goals from happening.
To prevent progression.
Yeah. I think I didn't even read it. I didn't hear the definition.
You just read it out loud.
I read it out loud. So the act of intentionally or unintentionally undermining one's own goals, aspirations, or relationships, yes, often due to fear.
Yeah.
So now for you, how do you feel like you've ever self-sabotaged within, you know, the workspace, and then we'll move into other spaces?
I think the number one self-sabotage that I suffer the most from would be imposter syndrome. I think definitely that goes a lot through my mind in everything that I do. I think in work, in terms of work, in terms of content work, in terms of myself as a person, in terms of my dating life.
Yeah, please push me up there. Yeah.
And I think that hinders a lot of progression. That's my number one thing. What about you?
So when you, the same one. So when you feel imposter syndrome, do you feel like you're incapable of completing tasks at work, or you just feel like, ish, I got lucky to be here? Does it affect your effectiveness and your ability to actually
your goals? Because I live under God's grace, Mfana. So sometimes when I can't carry myself, I just expect God to carry me. Or I'm blessed enough to hear in my space, nah, dude, you actually are that guy. And that will make me be like, okay, cool. And music, again, I told you, I like to zone out.
Yeah.
So I'll listen to music with headphones on full, guys. And I go have something to drink, something very, very strong, bitter, coffee or something like that. Just to numb all my senses, just so I can focus. And then that'll numb out all the evil voices in my head.
Yeah.
What about you?
Imposter syndrome, bro. It actually looks crazy because Raymond's here. He posted a video.
Hey, saying, Ray. At the back.
he posted a video like on his story. He was like, yo, dude, the problem with South Africans is not like lack of information or lack of data. It's people's ability to like action out. Something like that, right? Yeah. People's ability to like actually, like, we can teach you to do this thing, but it's up to you to do it. And I was like, shit, that happens a lot with me, like with some small tasks, like with not even small tasks. It happens to me with a lot of tasks as well. Mm. Like, I know that, okay, cool. Surface, like short-term goals, long-term goals, this is what I have to do. But I'm very capable of actioning out other things with like, you know, under and above my industry. But then I don't actually go and do the shit because I have a certain level of comfort with what I'm already doing and earning. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, for me, it's like I don't necessarily have imposter syndrome, but I just have like a
let's get it done syndrome.
Lack of action, lack of action out syndrome.
But that's why I think it's like a to-do list when you wake up in the morning and you're like ticking off the to-do list. Remember I told you, like, you just got to do three out of five.
Launching a new business is not a to-do list, bro.
It is, boy. Sometimes, you know, we spoke about it. Yeah, we spoke about it like the I think two podcasts ago. We said our long-term goals intimidate us in the short term.
Yeah.
So let's say I'm like, oh no, I really want to start like a company and start paying myself and this is this. You feel horrible the moment you can't, like, let's say that day you don't register it, but you still have the company idea. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're making logos, wada wada wada. It's about showing up every single day and doing the small steps that'll build up to. And I don't think you always like nisha yourself the pats on the back that you do the small steps well. You understand what I'm saying? To build up to the bigger thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get what you're saying, bro.
How would you say you self-sabotage within like relationships?
Our sort of friendship, because we're so love-oriented on this podcast, but
it's life. I mean, I feel like, you know, people always say, oh, you guys just be
so like, we love me. It's like, yo, bro. That's the thing that's like, it's like a third of my life. You feel me?
Yeah, like we literally work.
Work.
We have romantic partners. We have friendships.
Yeah.
Then we have hobbies and so we have quarter, things that are good for the body.
All right.
That's why like love always come up. But yeah, how do you self-sabotage in friendships?
In friendships, bro, I always undermine how much care the other person has for me in friendships. Always. So I'll be like, oh no, this person doesn't mess with me anymore. What a, because we didn't see each other 2 weeks in a row. What a. And then like, they'll be like, oh dude, how you been, dog? I missed you. And then I'm like, oh, never mind. Like, never mind. That was just me, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think there's two different types of friends. There's the friends that are high maintenance friends. Yeah. I think I'm a high maintenance
friend. Sound like a high maintenance friend.
And then there's the other side, which is your low maintenance friends. The friends that you talk to after 2 years and say, hey, how are you? You talk like you spoke yesterday for 2 hours and then you hang up and never speak again for the next 2 years again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's the only problem with my self-sabotage. I'm a high maintenance friends.
Yeah.
What about you? Like, would you say you're on the high maintenance or low maintenance? And like, what are your...
With friendship, I'm a very low maintenance friend.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's just that I don't mind seeing my friends, but like, I can go a whole month without
seeing. I've never seen you go weeks without seeing us.
That's because we have a culture of seeing each other.
Yeah.
Like, I can go weeks without seeing Matladi and Lucas.
Yeah.
And he can come through and I can be like, oh, what's up, baby? You're nice. Yeah. And we can chill the whole day and boom. Yeah. But would you guys think of like, we work together every week. Mm. We're going to see each other at work. We shoot together. We all stay within the same, you know, area.
Bowl together.
We bowl every single Wednesday. So it's like, ah, dude, we've built a culture to see each other, which is also beautiful.
Which is a good thing also. We're not saying guys is a bad thing,
So I think I'm more of a high maintenance when it comes to relationships.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to a romantic partner, bro. Like, I really need to see my romantic partner like every other day.
But
I don't know if it's an age thing, because if we go back to like how life was like 70 years ago, at my age, I'd have a household. I'd have two kids.
Three maybe.
Yeah. I'd have, you know what I'm saying? I'd have a
berry, collecting berry era. Like, you have a farm.
Ago, 1,000 years ago.
Oh, whoops.
You know what I'm saying? So like, for me, it's like, no, dude, I know that when my mom was my age, she had... I was 3, 4.
Yeah.
When my dad was my age, I think he was engaged.
Yeah, but you also have to understand, they were in a rush. They didn't know how life was going to work out. I mean, their first black president was coming out when they were in high school. It's very tough. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's very tough.
My point is that like natural instinct, the like human nature.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if Hitler was, you know, the president right now, I'd also get married now. You know, they didn't know, like, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They didn't know the longevity of life and how fun and how much struggle. But,
my point is,
might as well marry the person you like now.
Yeah, but my point is based off of not our surroundings, human nature.
In terms of human nature,
like, obviously, you know, as generations move and pass, as new generations are formed, there's certain things that we like yearn for based off of what happened in the past and history.
So I want to ask you. So now you're, can I say your age on the podcast? 27. You're 27.
So many times. I just said it now.
You're 27. When did the feeling of like saying to yourself, like, oh my God, like, low key, I should be, or start thinking about marriage? Wait, you started 26. I'm trying to see how many years I have left.
Yeah. No, so like the feeling never came due to age, it came because of me. Because I was anti-marriage, remember, for years. I said, I don't want to get married. I was anti-kids too. I was like, I don't want to have kids. So for me, it's a thing of like, okay, cool. I've experienced life so much that I now see that, okay, cool. When it comes to dating, I prefer this type of relationship. Yeah. When it comes to family, this is my ideal situation. Mm. When it comes to my Monday to Friday, this is how I see it looking, you know? Mm. So I don't think it's like, it came this year. It came now.
Thank God. So I still have time.
It came now. So for me, it's a matter of like, okay, cool. I can really see my days with the wife, with the kid, even.
So.
House, business.
Besides finances, what is holding you back from having that life? And I know obviously finance is obviously a big aspect. It's like, it's like one of the biggest ones.
Yeah. What's holding you back?
It's a arrogant to be like, nah. So, but I'm saying besides that, I want to see what qualities or characteristics you've identified in yourself.
Holding me back, or personally.
Yeah. In yourself that you've identified that is not giving you.
Yeah, I mean, it's communication. Like, I've been preaching communication for years. Like, hey, it's so good to communicate.
Communication every year on podcasts, on YouTube. Yeah, like, things we're being told, communicate. Like, we don't know how to speak English.
No, when I say communicate, I'm talking about, like, conflict resolution.
Okay.
So now, like, when I'm speaking to my... Because communicating with your partner...
Comprehension. That's the word.
Yeah. When you're speaking to your partner and it's nice and...
Yes, it's comprehension. If I can comprehend what you're saying. Communicate means just to speak. Like, I'm just speaking or I feel.
Yeah.
Comprehending is comes with the understanding, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Sorry for disturbing. Yes. Yeah.
So I was saying, like, conflict resolution, like, when we're going through hardships, when this hardship is presented here, like, the way I react is not the best way. The way my previous partner said, right, is not the best way. So for me, one thing holding me back is not being able to resolve my conflict.
Do you know?
Because I feel attacked, because I feel undermined, sometimes I feel disrespected. And I don't know if it's lack of communication with the other person or what, but those are the things that really hold me back. Because when those things happen, it builds resentment.
I don't know, bro.
Because every time there's a problem now, you're there like, this person's not going to respect me. I'm about to get disrespected. Now you anticipate disrespect. Now you anticipate a bad experience. Now your whole mood goes down even before it's meant to be down, because you know the previous six times, four times out of six, like, my night ended horribly.
Mm.
So I hold on to those emotions of the bad experiences due to bad conflict resolution. So one thing that I need to work on forever when I go into my next relationship is to...
Do you not ever think how like...
my conflict better.
Like, conflict is based on the person, like the person you're dating? Because sometimes I take like the... Like, I'll be like, with one girl, I'll be like the very emotional approach, the very, let's talk about our feelings. We're not sleeping until we figure out what's wrong. We won't sleep angry. Get to midnight, we're still angry. 1 a.m., we're still angry, you know?
Yeah.
Then that didn't work. And then you go to the next person, you try the same thing, and it works effortlessly. So sometimes I feel like conflict is like a shoe, like buying a shoe at like sports scene. You put on a size 3, it's going to hurt your toes, bro, because you can't get your points across. But there are people that understand your conflict styles.
Yeah, you see, there's compatibility levels within conflict.
Well, within conflict, yes.
Because I know I was with a girl once and she was like, she was lovely to like resolve things with.
Yeah, bro.
She was understanding, she was calm, she was smiling, she would understand.
She talked you through it.
Reassure, yeah. I was like, this is nice,
then,
man.
You go next door.
Hey!
Dangerous. Now you're getting poisoned. You're compromised. You've heard the word gaslight 10 times.
Yeah.
Hey, apparently changing something called narrative. You've never met this guy, by the way.
So real. So you're right when you say yes. You're so right, bro.
Yeah, so I think that we place a lot of like accountability and responsibility and be like, oh no, like I need to educate myself about communication and comprehension. When in reality, your emotion intelligence is probably on 88%, and you've been dealing with 10% your whole life, 10%, 10%, 10%.
Yeah.
And then you finally meet that 78 and you're like, oh wow, like actually wasn't like wrong in my conflict style. It's about how a person actually digests how I communicate. That's actually important.
Okay, okay, yeah. I've got a game for you now. Okay. You can answer yes or no, or you can go into discussion and reflection based on the reasons that you answer these things, right? Okay. So have you ever stayed in a toxic relationship due to fear of being alone?
Yes. Oh, is that, do you have to?
No.
Well, how does the game work again? True.
Answer me. Okay, true. So now you can reflect on that answer.
Not the people listening back home, not subscribing after we expose ourselves like this. But guys, please subscribe watching this on YouTube. If you're listening to this on any streaming platform, please give us 5 stars. Yo, please, I mean... What else? What, you guys are going to know what color my underwear is at some point. But anyways, yes.
Okay, so why?
Okay, so
I mean, I know the answer here is because you feared being alone.
Yeah, that's why I'm confused. You can't ask a question and then add a comma after the person answers.
Okay, let me ask you this question. So you were in a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
And you stayed because you preferred having companionship versus being alone. How did that work out for you?
No,
How did that work out?
It's not about companionship. It's about...
No, because you were scared of being alone.
It's not about also just being alone. Oh, yes, it is. Okay. It is about being alone. But it also...
Don't answer again. I want to answer the question again. Then from there, let's move on. Because now you're dodging.
But now you are.
Have you ever stayed in a toxic relationship due to fear of being alone?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, my next question is, why did you stay? Like, how did that go? Why did you stay? Obviously, because you were forgetting.
So my question to you is, can I answer the way I want or the way you want it?
Okay, answer the way you want.
Thank you. So, dude, I think there gets to a point with in a relationship with, and you've been with someone for so long, they start becoming also your best friend. I get you picking up each other's mannerisms, you know, you're laughing a bit more, you're understanding each other's humor a bit more.
Yeah.
And at some point in that relationship, the romantic side had completely fizzled out, I can say, right? I don't think we're being romantic to each other anymore. But that was still my best friend. Mm. And the thought of being alone and navigating this world alone without my best friend is what made me stay in the relationship. Mm. Even though the romantic side became toxic in nature. Yeah. Mm. And yourself? Yes or no?
Have you ever stayed in a toxic relationship due to fear of being alone? No.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever have, no. I have.
No.
I've done it once.
If I see a relationship like looking toxic, feeling toxic, I'm going to discuss it. And it's going to be the matter of discussion for months until...
Sometimes, Sato, when you drown, you must just look up. You know? And then, the water won't cover your nose. You just look up, breathing. sometimes it goes over your face.
That's crazy.
But you still, that's what being in a toxic relationship is like.
Yeah?
You don't know when the breathing is going to stop, but you're still alive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you often prioritize others' needs over your own?
No.
You? I disagree with your answer.
No. It like, if it's romantic, yeah, but in general, no.
No, I believe, and I don't know if it's the place to discuss this.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
I believe that like most of the time when we go out on the weekend and stuff, like...
Oh, be considerate of the others. Oh, yes, yes.
Like, you might not necessarily want to be in those spaces, do those things.
I don't.
But for the sake of, like, cultivating a good friendship with the boys...
Yeah, I'll be a bit more generous than the rest.
I wasn't saying you're more generous.
I'll be more generous.
I'm just saying that, like, you'll show up and you'll contribute towards the experience because you want to be around your friends.
Yeah.
So now you're not putting yourself first.
Is that also... Because I also benefit in those scenarios. That's why I didn't say no.
You, it's like saying you're going to Culture City... tired. You're going to benefit. You're going to have fun, but you're tired.
Yeah. I guess I pictured it like a person saying to you like, yo, you have a thing at 1 p.m.
Stop touching me, bro. I'm
okay.
Like being touched.
Sorry. So
I don't like my thigh being touched. I always
touch that though, guys. I don't know why. But anyways, let's say you have a thing at 1 p.m., right?
Yeah.
And it's like, your thing is like I make it like easy. Like you're just going to go wash your car.
Yeah.
But you haven't washed your car in like 3 weeks. So like you really have been feeling this need that like, this is the only time I'm free. I get to wash my car. On the other hand, boom, Hunse is moving into his new flat. He asks you to help him.
Yeah.
You know? Now, are you telling me if I choose Hunse over doing my car, I'm picking him over me type shit? That's what you're saying, eh?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. You're not being a good friend. You're not being considerate of effort, of moving in. You're not being considerate that you can wash your car another time.
No.
That's why that thing is a bit, and it's unequal to me for me to be the, just saying like, nah, I don't pick myself. I feel like I do when it counts.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, no, I all the time.
I wouldn't say that.
My needs.
Like you pick your needs above others.
No, I prioritize other people's needs.
Oh yes, okay, time. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I hate him. In my squad, I'm the big brother in the squad.
Yeah.
So also, that's also like it's a bit tiring because it's like I'm older in age, experience wise, I've done a little bit more. So it's like I have to brother you guys. You guys always try to make bad decisions.
You guys, not all of us. Like I'd say, out of 100% of the time, I'm making bad decisions. Maybe 10% of the time.
Yeah.
Some of the guys are on 60. I'm not gonna name. I'm not gonna name these criminals.
Yeah.
But some of the guys, some of these hooligans are on 70 even. But I won't name them.
But even me, I think I also I.
You on 28. By the way, you have more reckless decisions than me, by the way. I want to make sure you understand that.
But I mean, it's all based off perspective. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever... Okay, I'm going to skip this one, but you answer quickly. Have you ever held yourself back from pursuing a goal due to fear of failure?
I mean, yeah.
We all have. So, that's why I was like, ah, dude.
I think it's in human nature.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going into segment number two, embracing complexity, learning how to hold multiple truths. So let's first define what multiple truths are. So it's the ability to acknowledge and accept different perspectives, ideas, or values, even if they contradict to one another, right? So basically, the reason why I have this conversation here is because I want to know when you are having a conversation with friends and family and people, and you feel like somebody's incorrect, how do you navigate the situation? And how do you hold space for them to still feel heard and seen? Because we're having conversations pretty much every day with our friends and family.
Yeah.
And none of us really, some of us, we don't agree a lot of the time.
Yeah. I think something that I learned very young is that not everyone needs to be corrected. You can hold your truth in a space where someone says your truth is not true and just let it be. Because as long as you know what your truth is, it's fine. I've been in so many spaces where I've argued with family members for hours trying to tell them how I felt or how I perceive the scenario, and just being completely just shut down and being told my perspective is completely wrong.
Yeah.
So I learned from a very young age. Sometimes it's okay to just let someone speak and bark at you like a dog and then just say, okay, good dog.
Who are you calling a dog? Yeah.
But you get what I'm saying?
I hear you.
It's very wise for a person to be able to occupy a space and not occupy its opinion.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Like you don't conform to its like opinion.
Also, it's very difficult, bro, because sometimes like, there's truth, and then there's like personal bias, and then there's, you know,
then there's perspective, then there's on perspective,
and then there's like we are all main characters in our own lives. Mm. I'm trying to think about how I navigated, bro. Like if I mean, okay, great example. Mm. As Majita, we had a conversation in the previous video.
Yeah,
I was speaking about what women bring to the table when it comes to their femininity.
Oh yeah,
on the first date, and I felt like you weren't hearing me.
I wasn't, yeah.
And I think even the comment section, the audience wasn't hearing me. Mm. But some people did. But in that moment, I chose us. I literally said, you guys are young. Mm. So I threw a tantrum that people would say.
But you chose your truth.
But I chose my truth and I decided that.
You don't need to educate.
I don't need to force my truth onto you guys.
Do you ever speak to your parents and they just look at you and they say, hi, you'll see. Those are the moments where you are saying your truth and it's not the truth, Papa. I'm going to love her forever, Papa. I'm 18. You know what I'm saying? I'm 18 years old. I'm going to love her forever. We're going to get married one day. Your parent can say, oh, that's very nice. It's good information that you've just put into the space.
Yeah.
But it's not our truth. Mm. I like how you spoke about like, there's the truth, there's perspective. What did you say? There's bias.
Yeah, there's like, personal
bias opinion, right? Where like, I like that because you know you could be fighting with the love of your life,
and you tell her,
sorry for touching you, sorry.
You can be fighting. I just like it when you grab my.
Sorry. Let me do this.
No, it's okay.
Just you can. It's okay. You could be talking to a girl like you went to McDonald's at 10 p.m.
Yeah,
you bought a burger at 10:30, slow service that day. You be home at 11.
Yeah.
You didn't text your hand from that 10:30, 11. She says to you, where were you during that hour?
Yeah.
You have no proof that you went to McDonald's. You ate there. You have no proof that you ate McDonald's.
Yeah.
Maybe a bank account, whatever. Maybe you can show her that. A woman can, I know you're not going to believe me here, and the viewers at home won't believe me, but a woman can look you in the eyes and say, from my perspective. And tell you where you went at 10, 10:30, and 11 from her perspective.
Yeah.
And sometimes what I love about my, from my perspective is sometimes you don't even have to see me to have a perspective. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's very, very, very tricky not to actually distinguish between what is actually true in a moment. Also, that's also something that's very tough. And I think people definitely see it in like building oneself. Like, what is the truth about you? Do you actually like this? Yeah. Do you actually not like this?
But I feel like I agree with you 100% with everything. But also feel like we need to, like, as people understand that, like, even us, we can be wrong. Like, we need to open up our hearts to the fact that our truths might be incorrect. So how do you leave space to be corrected?
Yeah.
Because I don't see how, like, I know this, in the squad, many of you guys don't know how to be corrected.
Be corrected, yeah. Definitely.
And how to, like, hear and listen.
And just take positive feedback.
Or just look at feedback as feedback.
As feedback. And
sometimes you guys look at feedback as criticism.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, you know, in a, you have to understand, like, what's our total group following? Like, what? We're like, what, 800,000 in terms of, like, following as a group? These people are superstars, Munna. Madonnas. I look at Hunze. If I tell Hunze, listen, I think you should, you know, maybe be more honest of how you feel of this girl.
Dude, I don't want to do that type shit.
And you're looking at your younger brother and you're saying, no, man, you need to be able to express yourself in your relationships. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
He sees it as me saying to him, you must be weak.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So again, it also goes back to what we said about the perspective thing.
Yeah.
How do you identify, and maybe you can answer this question, when is it really feedback or just the person really just trying to tear you down for, you understand what I'm saying?
Ugh, dude, so I don't know. So I struggle to identify those things, but I know that, like, with me, I was speaking to a friend about this last week. With me, I take everything as positive feedback. And then if there's any negative, if there's any negative or disrespect in what you're saying to me, people outside of my social circle, I receive it as you projecting your own personal, like, problems onto me. Like, maybe I've triggered you or you're going through something, so you're going to obviously not be able to feedback to me properly. So I will automatically forgive that person's, like, snacksness, and then, like, I will receive what they're trying to say and see if it's even of value. Then with my personal group, like, ugh, dude, if my personal group gives me feedback, it's feedback.
Mm.
Like, I don't think anybody would say anything out of, like, hatred or love. That means I'd have to, out of hatred, that means I'd have to reevaluate their position in my life, because I respect everyone in my circle's opinions.
Mm.
And that's why they're in my circle. But obviously, I can see some people I can be like, ah.
Some people throw petty comments. Yeah, sometimes. But I think that's normal. I mean.
Not even petty comments. Some people's opinions, I can see, okay, cool, you're still getting there. It's not of substance.
Because
there's some people that are very young in our squad.
Very young.
Yeah, so it's like, ah, dude.
You'll see.
You'll see.
But again, it goes back to what we said. At that time, that person, that's their truth.
That's their truth.
Yeah, so very, very, very interesting. I like this topic.
Yeah, the next one is unpacking sex, sexuality, and vulnerability.
Hi, Potato. Did you read this in the agenda? I don't remember hearing this in the beginning.
So vulnerability is the willingness to be open, honest, susceptible to emotional risk, often leading to a deeper connection and personal growth.
Mm.
So what's your personal journey with, like, sex and your sexuality?
That like? Often comes with T's and C's applied. Often may lead to, what did it say? Read that last part again.
I'm so dead.
Often may lead to becoming
the ability to acknowledge and accept different perspectives, ideas. Oh, sorry. The willingness to be open, honest, and susceptible to emotional risk, often leading to deeper connections and personal growth.
Sometimes it leads to deeper blockings.
may come
anxiety,
with anxiety, depression,
blocks,
anger, disrespect.
Vulnerability is such a. I associate vulnerability with love so much.
Yeah.
Because your willingness to be able to leave a room for someone to come say, okay, cool, like, what's wrong? And how does, sorry, I keep touching Tata, guys. I'm so used to touching people in
you
my
grab
life.
My thigh, but you don't say
let
that.
Let me grab your ankle or something. I'm sorry. But I'm such a touchy person. Sorry, guys. I really associate vulnerability to love in a lot of ways. And it may be obviously linked to the fact of, like, I feel like every time I've ever been vulnerable with, like, a girl, like, I was deeply infatuated by her. I don't just open up to, like,
Anybody,
like, can be like, or any girl. I can open up to all my boys. My boys are my boys. But, like, girls, it's very hard for me to be like, listen, like, today was, like, really tough. And, like, I didn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. type vibe. Because some girls can look at you and say, yo, yeah, hey.
Men are finished. And Hans have been saying, my man is in his fed era.
Then you see on her status, not the sassy king complaining about finances, giving his desperate to be rich.
So we were locked in. Thing. That the lock is a rental, Tato. It's a rental. But
the rental lock.
Yeah, boy. Picking who to be vulnerable with is such a huge challenge in my life. I need to tell you the story.
Yeah.
Once had the worst day. I had like worst day at work. Worst day at content. Like I felt like, I think I came back home after shooting content with you guys at like 2 a.m. Mm. You know, I left this girl at my flat. Went into the flat. I just started crying, bro. Like I just started crying. I was like, dude, I just feel so weak. I feel as if I don't have my life together. I want this and this and this. You know, I want to start businesses. I want to do. You know, a nigga gets in his moment like, oh, it's not enough. This life's not enough. And then I started crying, and she just looked at me, bro. Like I kid you, she's like cry.
Yeah.
She just looked. She just went.
Ooh, heck is so hectic.
And she just looked at me. Didn't touch me.
Yeah.
Didn't say you're okay. I think she even left the room waiting for me to stop crying. Came back, and then. When she came back, she was like, oh, you're done. Like, you're good. I think I even had to call my sister because I couldn't stop crying, bro.
Yeah.
Call my sister. My sister's like, everything's going to be okay. Wada, 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 wada. She was worried. I'm not acting like she wasn't worried at all.
Yeah.
She was worried. She just didn't know
what to do.
What the effect so was. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that for me was the moment I learned. I was like, yo, being vulnerable.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous, bro. And it also depends on which tribe. If you're dating a Zulu woman, you should not be vulnerable at all. China woman, you need to be as vulnerable as possible. You know what I'm saying? But again, based on, yeah.
Now, real, even with me, with like vulnerability, I struggle to be vulnerable with women now as well. Like, I'll be talking to a girl, she'll be like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'll be like, sometimes I'll be working, talking to someone, then I'll be like, fuck. And she'll be like, what's wrong? I'm like, nah, it's just, nah, that's cool.
Yeah. Because you feel like, if I say this problem, one, it won't be fixed. It won't be helped.
Yeah.
This person doesn't have the skills or anything to help me with the problems I have, for example. And sometimes that's okay.
Yeah. So now I don't. And then they'll be like, and my friends will be like, you don't open up. I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
It's intentional.
Might as well not.
Yeah, please respect that.
But again, you have to understand this. Also, guys, we're speaking freely here, but this also comes from past hurt. And like, for example, I just gave the story time, which led to me not being as vulnerable for men. But these things are, as Tato says, but, like, you can go ahead.
No, as Tato says?
As Tato says, like, the best skill to learn is to unlearn.
I was about to say, because like, men are the worst at this. Like, we go through experiences. Let's say we showcase vulnerability, then we're shamed for it. We will never be vulnerable again.
Ever.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Ever.
I mean, we see with a lot of our friends, like, I hate to say the names, Percy and Khonze.
Very, very hard, guys.
Like, with them, bro, Percy and Khonze, they were in relationships. They didn't go while they were hurt. They will never be in a relationship anytime soon.
Yeah.
So we keep building up these walls as men. Even me, like, I was once in a very vulnerable relationship, and I was taken, not taken advantage of, man, but, like, I was, like, my vulnerability was viewed as weakness with this person. Mm. Right. We were never dating though. Now my vulnerability is very much a war. So now, isn't this preventing us from finding true love, true friendship, true moments because we have all these walls up? Or is it protecting us from the outside world?
Tato, if you're driving to Durban from Johannesburg and 10 minutes in, pop a tire. You're going back home, you're going to go keep going. Some people choose to fix the insecurities that they hold. The things that block them from the progression of their journey in love. Others look at a pop tire and say, you know what? Let me just keep driving with it. I'll find a garage on the way.
No, but some people, like, they get a pop tire, they fix the pop tire. Now what do they learn? Never drive on the gravel. What happens if my wife is on the gravel?
No, Tato.
You know what I'm saying?
You have to understand what I'm trying to say is that it's all about what is your choice with your... I think people are so bad at taking accountability for the harm of previous partners. That's caused on them. So like, let's say now you're saying you're vulnerable, what is a wall for you. That's up to you now. If I'm dating you, that's your responsibility to take care of that. I should not be like telling you, oh no, yes, you can be vulnerable, what.
But you see now.
I can allow space, but it's your responsibility to educate
100%,
yourself. 100%.
And like, I agree.
Yeah, boy.
I agree. But like now, let me make it this about like talking stages even night, right?
That's the thing of talking stages. The rules
don't apply. That's what I'm saying. Like a talking stage is what leads you towards getting into a relationship.
Yeah.
So now if I've got trauma when it comes to being vulnerable, when it comes to expressing myself, I would never express myself and be vulnerable to a talking stage. Mm. I'd wait for the talking stage to become my girlfriend. Mm. But now me preventing the vulnerability might prevent the talking stage from viewing me as their boyfriend or me even viewing them as my girlfriend, because I feel like there's no emotional connection. And it's me cutting the wire to enable the emotional connection. So now it's like, as Jen's putting up all these boundaries, how do we add little holes in the boundaries so we can at least peep through and see?
Oh no, he's intelligent. He's so intelligent. Look at that. He's got love languages.
I get what you're saying. And
maybe it's a matter of men need to start practicing how to heal from past experiences.
I definitely think, you know, with the right companion, the right partner, they will be able to, because keep in mind, that's the whole point of dating and giving a part. They push you to become a better version of yourself. That's the part people forget all the time. Your partner should be able to identify your weak points, express them to you in the most, like, you know, the way that you'll receive it the best. Obviously, over time. Yeah. Which is why the talking stage takes so long, guys. You can't date someone after 2 months.
I don't get people that date 1 year, 3 years. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Weeks, bro. months, 3 months.
I'm saying
months.
Most people say, like, yeah, no, after the third date, we date. You guys are desperate for love.
Yeah.
Do you know who you're dating?
You don't. That means you don't know.
You don't understand the person.
You don't know. No, not even that. You don't know the possibility of love you could have. You just settle for whatever comes and has minimum requirements.
Or you don't value what the title girlfriend or boyfriend.
Yes,
means.
Like, for you, it means so little.
It means nothing to you.
It means so little.
Like when I'm with a girl, like, bro, we're gonna talk for a while, papa.
Yeah,
my 4 or 5 months.
Hey, hello, hi. Morning, good morning, good night. Hello, hi. Yeah. Good morning, hello, say, good night.
What do you want to talk about? Yeah. You. I want to see you in your darkest. Yes. I want to see you in your.
Welcome breakfast. To the first exam. Meeting my friend. Let's go. You know, she gets there. Khunza's laughing. His ass. Say fired. Out! Don't make another man smile in front of me. But you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe I'm whiling with the 4 or 5 months, yeah? But maybe like 2 months.
A certain amount of time.
Yeah. And people say, no, we'll see in the relationship. I don't want to break up with my girlfriend.
Yes. I want to break up with someone I never invested in.
Yes. I want to say this is not working.
Yeah.
Not let's break up.
How about when you say let's break up? People can give opinions and stuff. If you're dating, if you're not dating, people, when you say let's break up, it's like, oh yeah, that was that, like, we get to see other people now again, everything. Yeah. When you're dating, it's like, what about I don't know, but I like you said, very hard. But do you not believe that to a certain extent it's up to you to not only educate yourself but also educate your partner how to love you? And I think that you can speak on those things and say, listen, I do struggle with A, B, and C, and I don't know what that's going to hold in this relationship, but that's something that's going to constantly come up. I always tell people that I really struggle with focus. Like, I'm very, like, if I'm doing something, I have hyper focus on whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
So if I'm, like, on my phone and someone's telling me a story, I won't hear the story. I will communicate that early in the relationship so the person can say, hey, level, talk to me. You know what I mean? Those are the things that you should be able to say out loud in a relationship. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. You need to do that.
Yeah.
You need to do that.
Definitely.
Okay, let's go to the last one. So, overcoming the fear of success, embracing our full potential. So, the fear of success is the anxiety or apprehension that comes with achieving one's goals, often due to fear of change, responsibility, or loss of identity. Oh, wow. So, most of us are scared of success because it comes with change, you know, new responsibility, or loss of identity. I've never thought about it like that.
I never thought about it like that. You do obtain.
And subconsciously, that's what happens.
Like, yeah.
You're scared of, like, a new lifestyle. You're scared of new responsibility. You're scared of, you know. Mm. Yeah, that's so great. And I've never thought. Why would
that's
you?
Actually a very, like, that's a bar. Because, like, yo, like, low-key, for you to become the successful image of yourself, you need to
lose the existing.
You need to let this version of yourself
go.
Like, go. That's actually very deep. Maybe that's why it's so hard to do the actions.
Yeah, change management.
Oh. Because what you going to do? Like, hey, boy. That's another thing. Like, I like what it said. Like, after you've obtained your goals, you feel like you've obtained a new identity. You're no longer the person you are. Blah, 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 blah.
You were, yeah.
There's so many points in one's life where you will hit a milestone and your friends and family and stuff might not necessarily be like, they'll present happiness, but won't feel happiness for you. Mm. You know? You starting a new job. Oh, you bought another couch. You bought a couch. Oh, that's nice. Yo, it's about well. You know, small comments like that. You're like, hi, boy. Like, huh, I'm fine. I thought that you perceive this thing to be a milestone for me. But a lot of people won't perceive it like that. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does.
So that's another thing that, like, I struggle with. Like, when, you know, we always speak about, oh yeah, get rich quick. Get rich quick with the gang, with the boys. We're going to be rich. We're going to have Porsches, all of us matching Porsches, all those things. But it's like, in reality, maybe one of us will make it. Like, if we're being statistic-wise, probability-wise, you know. The rest won't be, you know, bad off. I believe we'll all make it together. But in reality, that's not what happens. And we've seen, I said this in the previous podcast, where we see it especially with, like, degrees. Mm. Everyone's studying, in university, we're all equal. Now we're looking at it, the education keys, they're eating the same food as us. Mara, when we graduate, the tax brackets shift. I'm at La Parada, buddy. You understand what I'm saying? And but we like this, but we like this. Humans love this belief of equality. Everyone must be equal. We're all going to make it. Hey, how is it possible we're all going to make it? It's not possible. There's certain few of us that have the energy, that have the drive to make it. Yeah. Certain few of us on Earth that don't, and that's okay. That's also okay. There's other ways of making it in your own life. You know what I'm saying? You could have a beautiful family. Those are the things that can
fulfill. Can raise amazing kids. People, kids with good
values. Yes, but I
take care of the community.
I sometimes worry about that of success, because we don't speak about it. But every time I've reached another goal or reached another milestone, I've lost a lot of friends. I've lost a lot of love. Mm. Things have changed, you know. I've always seen that, like, because Kuki Manta, I've been a student. You know, I've worked. I've been a student. I've done the self-employment thing. I've done traveling. I've done the. Every time it's a new woman comes around, and then a new friendship. But then, like, I think about the day that just events becomes like there's one event in Johannesburg. How many times are we going to see Khunza? Khunza's been making $1 billion decisions. I'm still making 1,000 rand decisions.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, that imbalance is purely natural. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the one thing I worry about.
Yeah, success. But I agree. Yeah, that's so real. But I hope.
We pray.
In our friendship group, the fact that we all have that. Honestly, we all have the entrepreneurial spirit, but we don't. But we all don't. Have that spirit of success. Mm. That we can all branch out in our different ways, or even in the same ways, and, like, you know, grow together. Because it won't be nice if...
Mang's left behind.
Well, yeah, or let's say you guys become multi-billionaires and I'm left there as a multi-millionaire. That's not going to be nice.
It's still sweet, but it's not as sweet.
Yeah, but if I wanted to be very sweet.
Yeah, it's not as sweet. It's not private jet sweet, man. It's still sweet. Yeah,
you guys are discussing PJs.
Yeah.
I'm discussing first class.
Yeah, you're saying, let's split, guys. Let's split a plane.
Let's split a PJ.
Hey, when are you going to split Wacky Wednesday?
But, but yeah. But that shows the importance of, like, moving together when it comes to success.
Collaboration.
Because I could never be who I am if I never really worked with Okwesabi, Sibumpanza. Mm. I would never have, like, even pushed my e-book, if it wasn't for, like, Raymond teaching me, like, a little bit about e-com. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So it's like, it's so important to make sure that your community allows for you to actually become successful and your community inspires you. Because I know with us, for the longest time, even my previous friendship group, we would do this thing where we would always be together, but there'd be no inspiration to become successful. It was always a consumption.
To do more.
Do the bare minimum consumption. So it's very important to have those critical friends that inspire. Hey, let me switch on. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Hey, let me not spend those 2 hours watching a Netflix. Let me go learn something new.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting. I mean, we badmouth our friends a lot, but if Tato's in the club for 3 days in a row, someone's going to ask him, bro, what are you doing? Yeah, like, what's going on? You know, no one will leave him and say, can I come? Can I come? Can I? Some will leave him. The younger
some
kids.
Some will come.
The younger
see ya.
The younger kids.
See, say leave him, guys.
The younger kids will mislead you and say, let's go. Let's have fun. Just me and you, buddy. Best friends. You know? Those are the people in life that happen. But again, like we said, I like what Tata said. Let's distinguish between who are your progression friends and your consumption friends. Yeah. And sometimes, fun fact, they can be a hybrid of both. They can consume sometimes.
I'd say with our friendship group, we're on the 80% consumption, 20% inspiring.
Yeah.
And I only say 20% because we work together.
Yeah.
But when we work together, we're not doing anything new. We're just doing the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Of course, as Majita is like, it's doing
it's
great.
It's a huge thing, yeah. For
but
us.
Like, for our capacity and our capabilities,
we could
be
doing way more.
Yeah,
I told Tato, I think I literally hit him up last week. I was like, dude, I know we're running short on the podcast, guys. We're going to finish. We're going to wrap this up. But I told her the last week, I was like, dude, low-key, next week, we need to push. We need to sprint of work. We need to do what. Because I just feel as if we all look at our times and we actually don't optimize it. A lot of us on the group, going to gym is the... the pinpoint of the achievement of the day. How, chief? You're going to have a six-pack, but you're going to be broke. Let's work. Let's make money, papa. Let's make money, papa. You can have a mukaba and have money, but a six-pack and hunger. There's a big difference between...
Who's going to pay for the creatine when you're
hungry? Who's going to pay for the creatine? Let's make money. You can gym later. We can gym in the Bahamas. You want to... come on, chief.
But yeah, guys, thank you for watching this episode. This has been fun. We were a little bit unprepared today. That is on me. But I think the conversation was nice.
I think it was a great conversation. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it flowed.
Very slow today, but...
Very slow, very real. If you guys are new to the podcast or the channel, please do subscribe. If on Spotify, please give us 5 stars. If anywhere else, give us a good rating. Subscribe, press the like button. We'll see you guys next week. This week, we're recommending Lebo Rampiri to Consume, Tato Rampiri to Consume, Asma Jita, Thought Digest, and Seated on social media.
Just Platform. 30G and Percy as well.
Just 30G and Percy ASF too.
Shout out to you guys.
So we're promoting the network for this one. Usually we say, yo, I've been watching. Nah, check out the gang. The link's in the description. I'll see you guys next week for a brand new one. Ray-Bans and catamarans, baby, give me a life. We'll be living a life. Ray-Bans and catamarans.